You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Drones have become a major part of American anti-terrorist efforts. Ramping up under the Obama administration, the U.S. has conducted drone strikes in Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, Somalia, Yemen, and elsewhere.
The strikes are aimed at suspected terrorists, but our next guest says it hasn't always been clear who's targeted, how drone strikes are approved, or how many civilians have been killed in these attacks.
In a new book drawing from leaked government documents, Jeremy Scahill and his colleagues at The Intercept try to piece together how, when, and where drones are used and what the consequences might be. Jeremy Scahill is an investigative reporter and founding editor of the online news publication The Intercept. His new book is The Assassination Complex Inside the Government's Secret Drone Warfare Program. Jeremy, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
Well, in the book, Jeremy, you write that drones are a tool, not a policy. The policy you write is assassination. Why is it important to say it in those terms up front?
Well, I mean, because there's a lot of attention paid to the technology of drones, and I think that some of that attention, of course, is rightly placed because drones offer a way of attempting to sanitize warfare because you're not risking your own pilots by having them fly over another country. You can have essentially remote control warfare, and President Obama often talks about how drones are more precise than other U.S. weapons platforms. So to just debate the technology is to miss the much bigger issue, which is that we as a society, particularly after 9/11, have watched both the Democrats and Republicans embrace this institution of assassination as an official part of U.S. policy, but they never call it assassination. They call it targeted killing or targeted strikes. And an interesting sort of historical side note to all of this is that the U.S. Congress has refused to ever legislate what constitutes assassination. Most Americans that follow, you know, politics know that there's an executive order that every president from Ford through Obama has upheld that says that the United States does not engage in assassinations. At the same time, Congress has never defined what an assassination is under U.S. law. So basically the point that I'm making there is that when you want to look at this tale of hits around the world that the U.S. has been doing in the name of fighting terrorism, if you just focus on what weapon system they use, then you do so at the expense of a broader discussion about what kind of a nation we want to be and what kind of national security policy we want.
Tell us about the leaked data that provides a lot of the background for you and your colleagues at The Intercept in this new book.
Right. Well, you know, at The Intercept, we, of course, are the leading organization reporting on the revelations from the cache of documents that Edward Snowden provided to my colleagues, Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras. And we do a lot of reporting about the NSA and the CIA. And this particular project that is now in book form in the Assassination Complex is the result of another confidential source, a whistleblower who worked on the drone program and worked with special operations forces in what was called the high-value targeting campaign. And it is the most comprehensive leak of classified documents on the drone program in history. And so what we've done is we've laid out the architecture of assassination, including sensitive slides that show the chain of command leading all the way up to the president. We call it the kill chain, and how these drone strikes are authorized, how these assassination operations are authorized. This is information that has never been in the public domain before, and perhaps one of the most damning revelations from the documents that we obtain is that in some cases, the U.S., 9 of the 10 people that the U.S. kills in these airstrike operations are not the intended target. And in fact, they don't know the identities oftentimes of the people that they're killing. And yet the military and the CIA have a program where they created a mathematical equation that will almost always result in zero for the number of civilians killed, because anyone killed in a drone strike is immediately categorized as an enemy killed in action unless they posthumously are proven to have been an innocent bystander. The only exception would be if it's clearly a woman or a child that's killed in these strikes. So, you know, I think if you look at it as a you know, sort of from the, you know, bird's eye view of the entire thing, this is an extremely significant leak from a whistleblower who was an insider on this program, and it gives lie to a lot of the public proclamations from the Obama administration about the surgical nature of drone operations.
Let's talk about civilian casualties. It sounds like you're saying, based on what you're seeing from these inside documents, we don't know. It's really hard to tell how many civilians have died as a result of these targeted drone strikes.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, the first time that the U.S. used a weaponized drone outside of Afghanistan was in November 2002 in Yemen, and that was authorized by President Bush. And there were six people killed, including a U.S. citizen, who we're told was not the intended target of the strike. And then you fast forward to the end of the Bush administration, and drones were just starting to be used widely in Pakistan primarily. Obama comes into office, and he basically, you know, had campaigned on a promise not to engage in what he called dumb wars, like the big, you know, ground invasion of Iraq. And he really embraced this idea that by using technology and using covert special operations action and by using drones, that somehow they could wage a cleaner form of warfare while still taking the fight to the enemy, as they put it. So when we look at who actually is being killed in these strikes, because oftentimes they're happening in remote locations, unless journalists or human rights workers are able to go to the scene and document who was killed, we're left then to the official proclamations from Washington. And because of the formula they've come up with, where everyone killed is an enemy killed in action until proven otherwise, it's nearly impossible to know how many innocent people or civilians have been killed. It's certainly in the hundreds and quite possibly in the thousands.
We're talking to investigative reporter Jeremy Scahill. He and his colleagues at The Intercept have a new book out. It's The Assassination Complex: Inside the Government's Secret Drone Warfare Program. Jeremy, the argument from supporters of the use of drones might go something like, there are individuals and groups out there who see themselves as being at war with the U.S. and its allies, but they don't fit in with the usual rules of war. They're not in uniform. They're basically exploiting a gray area. Don't we need some kind of gray area response, like targeted killings, targeted drone strikes?
Well, you know, there is not a single person running for president that does not agree with that analysis, including Bernie Sanders. You know, Sanders was asked at the most recent Democratic town hall if he supported the kill list that's maintained by the Obama administration, and he said yes. In the way it's being implemented now, I support the kill list. And Hillary Clinton, of course, is an aggressive supporter of U.S. Militarism, but also, you know, as Secretary of State, was part of what effectively was a paramilitarization of certain aspects of U.S. diplomacy, so that it would feed into the kill system, where drones are the sort of tip of the spear. You know, my response on the questions that you are raising there is that I've been on the ground in Somalia, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, and elsewhere, and I think there is no doubt that there are people plotting to conduct terror attacks against the United States. The question I would have is this policy actually making us less safe or more safe? And I think we have created more enemies than we have killed actual terrorists. Now, to the specific point, every nation has a right to defend itself. If the United States is going to come under an imminent and real threat, of course it has a right to defend itself, as any other nation does around the world. But the vast majority of drone strikes have been what I would describe as pre-crime operations, like the Tom Cruise movie, Minority Report, where you basically are profiling people and saying, yeah, we think that they may do something bad in the future, so let's kill them right now. If that's going to be U.S. policy, then it should be there should be a thorough debate about it. We have embraced a system where we have a parallel justice system, where the president and a few of his allies are essentially serving as prosecutor, judge, jury, and executioner, including of American citizens. This isn't to defend the integrity of some of the people that we've killed. Of course, some of them are monstrous individuals, and I would have liked to see them brought to justice. But I don't know of a single drone strike that stopped an imminent attack against the United States. I do know of a lot of drone strikes against people who were not on an active battlefield, had no capacity to kill any Americans, and they were killed in an act of pre-crime without having even been charged with a crime.
A lot of your book looks at how the people are selected as targets and approved as targets for these drone strikes. What did you learn from those leaked documents?
Well, you know, one thing is there's been a lot of talk over the year and reporting that the White House uses what are called baseball cards, BBCs, you know, on terror suspects. And we actually published a document that is the kind of information that's on these so-called baseball cards. And it really is like the, you know, if, you know, kids who were collecting, you know, baseball cards, you know, there's a picture on the front, you flip it around, and on the back are the stats, the home runs, the batting average, the RBIs. And with these stats, it's who is this person connected to? Are they known to have been a part of a terror plot? What kinds of chatter have we intercepted on their phone calls? And do we believe this person rises to the level of a terrorist that we need to kill? And they have meetings every Tuesday at the White House where the president's deputies essentially sift through these baseball cards and prioritize who should be taken out next. And so that, you know, that's something that, you know, a lot of people have reported around it, and then we published an actual document that shows how that works. The other thing that I think becomes really clear is sort of just the banality of the process that's been created. It's almost like like they think that they've turned assassination into a kind of a science where you can put information into what they call the disposition matrix, and then it spits out an answer on whether someone should live or die. And to me, that was probably the most stunning aspect of this, is how banal the entire process is. And they use corporate language to describe the kinds of individuals that they're taking out and the kinds of operations that they're engaged in.
As you mentioned, some of the first drone strikes under a Republican president increased a lot under a Democratic president. Bipartisan use of drones. Do you see any, at higher levels of government in Congress, any opposition, significant opposition to the use of these drones for, as you say, targeted killings?
Nope, not at all. I mean, it's really kind of incredible. You know, I mean, I cut my teeth as a reporter in the 1990s when Clinton was president, and I covered the war in Yugoslavia and the airstrikes that Clinton was conducting in Iraq under the so-called no-fly zones. And I think part of what we see in our society is that, particularly during election years, a lot of people check their conscience at the door, and they don't want to criticize, you know, their guy or their woman who they happen to be supporting for president. And you know, the reality is that one of President Obama's enduring legacies is the attempt, and I think it was largely successful, to legitimize the type of policy when it comes to so-called counterterrorism that Cheney and Rumsfeld and others ultimately wanted, which is that the U.S. would make clear to everyone around the world that we will kill whomever we want, whenever we want, wherever we want, and that we are not going to engage in any kind of debate about other nations' sovereignty. And for a constitutional law professor who won the Nobel Peace Prize to have gotten the support for what amount to assassinations to skyrocket among self-described liberals really kind of shows you the potency of having a system where there's only two real options on the ballot to vote for when it comes to sustainable parties.
Jeremy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was investigative reporter Jeremy Scahill. His new book is The Assassination Complex: Inside the Government's Secret Drone Warfare Program.